Thoughts on 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15. Granville, New South Wales, Australia, April 22, 1894. On Sabbath, Willie accompanied me to Sydney, and I spoke to the people from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15. I had a message from the Lord for the people, and God gave me freedom in speaking. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verses 6, 7. In these words, the duty of everyone is plainly outlined. All are to do their best. God has given rich promises to those who will reveal by good works in the daily life the virtue and power of their faith and self-denial. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Verses 8, 9. This promise is made to all who reveal a working faith, a faith that prompts the receiver to do good actions, to relieve the necessities of his fellow men. This is a faith that works by love and purifies the soul. But faith without works is dead, being alone. We have the Word of God as our assurance and comfort, to inspire us with hope and comfort. God declares that He will not be unmindful of our labors of love in carrying out His will in behalf of our fellow men. God has made those who believe in Him stewards in trust. They are to live the law of God, showing the world by their good works that this law is perfect, converting the soul, uprooting from the heart all selfishness and covetousness, and planting there the precepts of righteousness. The law of God is the transcript of His character. Those who profess to keep this law, but who fail to show that they love God with heart, mind, and strength, who do not devote themselves unreservedly to His service, neither keep the first four commandments, which enjoin supreme love for God, nor the last six, which enjoin unselfish love for one another. By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. True love for God will always manifest itself. It cannot be hidden. Those who keep God's commandments in truth will reveal the same love that Christ revealed for His Father and for His fellow men. He in whose heart Christ abides will reveal Christ in the character, in His work in behalf of those of the household of faith, and in behalf of those who need to be brought to a knowledge of the truth. He is ever to show by good works the fruit of His faith, revealing Christ by loving words and deeds of mercy. He is to show that he believes that the law of God is not only to be believed in a theoretical way, but is to be acted out in the life as a living, vital principle. He is to show by his life that the law of God is written in his heart. Thus we may all represent Christ. Thus we may show that we have the mind of Christ and are doing the works of Christ. By diffusing light, those who claim to have the light of present truth are to manifest to the world the influence and power that the truth has upon the character. If the truth of God makes no decided change in us, it is of no value to us. We are like salt which has lost its savor, which is good for nothing. We do not reveal to the world any saving, redeeming qualities. Mark carefully the following words. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, thanksgiving offered by those we have helped from love for God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, 11. The doing of the law of God is the fruit of His grace in the heart. Obeying this law, we daily remember that God is the giver of all that we hold in trust. He provides us with all we have. It is because of His mercy and love that we have strength to labor. He opens ways by which we may gain earthly treasure, not that self may be exalted, not that the treasure obtained may be hoarded up, but that God's name may be glorified, that the needy may be helped, that God's treasury may be provided with that which He claims in gifts and offerings, that the work of raising the standard of truth in the regions beyond may not languish, but move forward and upward. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Upon all who consecrate themselves to God, as laborers together with him, is laid the responsibility of guarding the interests of his cause and work. They are to live the truth which they claim to believe. They are to keep Christ constantly before them as their pattern, and by their good works cause praise to flow forth from hearts hungering and thirsting for the bread of life. Not only are they to minister to the spiritual need of those they are seeking to win for Christ, they are to supply their temporal necessities. This work of mercy and love is ever presenting itself, and by faithfully doing it, God's servants are to show what the truth has done for them. They are to be faithful stewards, not only of gospel truth, but of all the blessings God has given them. Not only are they to speak words of sympathy, by their deeds they are to demonstrate the reality of their sympathy and love. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. It warms the heart and awakens the soul, filling it with gratitude to God. By the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12 to 14. This work is a savor of life unto life. It is an experiment which will always produce the very best kind of fruit, not only in the receiver, but in the giver. He that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Matthew 13, verse 23. Shall the expectation of the sower of the seed be disappointed? God forbid, for it is for the present and eternal good of the receiver that the seed sown be received into good ground. When it is received in faith, it springs up and bears fruit. What does it mean to receive into the heart the good seed? It means to receive the words of Christ. This is a remedy for sin-sick souls. Some give the truth a partial reception, a half sympathy, wishing at the same time that they had never heard the word of truth. In such soil, Satan sows his seed, and soon there is a growth of the thorns which chokes and destroys the good seed. But when the gospel seed is sown in soil which welcomes it, when it is incorporated with the life, direct and glorious results are seen, results which testify to the infinite love of God and the transforming power of the gospel. It means much to receive the good seed. In Luke we read, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Luke 8, verse 15. An honest heart is a heart which, when the light shines into it, acknowledges that sin is the transgression of the law. Take heed how ye hear, said the great teacher. Verse 18. What will it avail to spend the life deceiving oneself and revealing this deception in the character? When truth is received into the heart, the tares growing there are uprooted. The appeals of God to the conscience are no longer turned aside as of no consequence.